All right, we're going to continue with our media availabilities here at Bristol Motor Speedway in advance of Sunday's Food City 500. We are joined by the defending race winner, Jimmy Johnson, driver of the number 48 Lowe's for Pro Chevrolet. Jimmy, you actually have two wins here at Bristol. Why don't you just talk about coming back here where you're the defending winner?
Yeah, I certainly hope to replicate what we did last spring. And even last fall, we had a really strong race and competitive and have been able to really knock out top five finishes here. Excuse me. And gain points and get a nice trophy a couple times. So excited to be back. This racetrack is one of my favorite ones to come to. It's my favorite racetrack to watch a race at. I've been on the good side and the bad side of things that happen on track, so it's hard to say. I've joked around in the past that I love to watch a race here and haven't necessarily enjoyed driving a race here. There isn't another track in the country like this place to get used to it. So it really does take reps driving here and running here, and some guys have taken to it really quickly. For me, it's taken some time, and it's been a crazy journey along the way, and love seeing this place packed and the energy that comes with it. So excited for another fun weekend.
All right, we're going to get started with Woody and then come up to Mike and Kenny.
Woody came with MRN. Jimmy, what did you think about the All-Star package announcement this week with the restrictor plate and the aero package that the Xfinity cars used at Indy last year?
You know, I feel the All-Star race is a great place to test things, and I'm happy to see NASCAR using that environment and also the Speedway willing to allow that to happen. In talking to the Xfinity guys that ran the package at Indy, I think Indy might serve that package better with the long straightaways to be able to take advantage of the way the aero works on the car. But let's try. I mean, why not? There's really nothing to lose. And if it might not be the package we love and want, but I'm sure it'll get us a step closer. We'll continue to evolve, largely because so many people are willing to take this chance at the All-Star race.
Go to Mike, Kenny, and then Jerry.
Mike Hembree, USA Today. I know you're not going to be happy until you're the top Chevrolet, but Chevy in general has had struggles this year other than Austin's win at Daytona. How has that generally played into the struggles you've had, or is your stuff a kind of a separate issue?
I don't know. I mean, the first mark, as you mentioned, is to be the top Chevy, and then at that point, I think my opinion would shift or could shift or be allowed to shift. But until then, I feel that it's something we're not doing right. Areas we're not working in the right areas to yield the big chunk of speed that we want to be in that dominant space. We are improving. We're making it better each and every week. And I've used this phrase many times before, but we're just stacking pennies. And when you start stacking some quarters, but the effort is there. We are such a united team and working as close together as ever. And, I know in time we'll get there. I want to be there right now. And we certainly hope that this weekend we can turn the corner, but I think we're seeing some good steps and good strides. Friday and Saturday went really well for us in Texas, which I think is a good sign. Unfortunately, we didn't have a clean race day on Sunday and had a bunch of different problems that set us back, so or got us in a wreck. But we're getting there, and until I'm that lead Chevy, I just need to keep my blinders on and stay within the 48 team and make sure we get me the best car that we can.
Go to Kenny.
Kenny Bruce with KennyBruce.net. Jimmy, along those lines, the shortcomings of the Chevrolet as you guys try to figure it out, will they be as relevant here this weekend at this track as they would be somewhere else?
I don't think so. I think, granted, the speeds are higher around this short track, but this place is very, very unique. I think Martinsville is another one that stays more consistent over time and is more of an equalizer than other tracks. So we'll see. I don't think that it's definitely not a mile and a half or 2 mile racetrack where you'll see some of the aero issues come into play as badly. Yeah.
We're going to go to Jerry and then to Bob.
Jerry Jordan, KickingTires.net and PRN. In the past 10 years, you've only had one season where you haven't had more than two wins. You've had three last year, five the year before, five before that. You know your stats. Are you a victim of your own success in, the people expecting you to be in victory lane right now? And is it being made too much of a big deal that you haven't been there in a while?
No, it's definitely a story. I mean, we we have high expectations for ourselves first and foremost, and we think that we should be in a position to win races every year and compete for race wins each weekend. So I think within that there's a lot of fair questions being asked, but I think there is overreaction by fans and media on that last upper percentile of it, especially all the very kind and wonderful people on social media and the things that they have to say. That's kind of why I've also mentioned, people underestimate how tough this garage area is, and many of the people that are so kind on social media aren't a pro at anything and don't understand what it takes like to exist at that pro level, and it's tough, and it's small increments from good to great. And right now we've just been, in that good category. We need to be great. We want to be great. So most of it's fair, but some of it's unfair.
Come up here to Bob and then go to Kelly.
Bob Pockers, ESPN. In the last week, we've been talked about teams being issued pick guns. You've had sponsorship news. Is NASCAR going to change the way they sell sponsorship? You've had all-star rules with restrictor plates at Charlotte. It seems like, I won't call it chaos, but there's a lot swirling around. What's it like to drive with all this other stuff going on? And do you pay any attention of it, think about it during 6.5-hour workout rides or anything like that?
I try not to think about anything when I'm on the bike, just enjoy myself. That's my me time. In a lot of ways, I'm close to the decisions that are being made and understand it and see the hard work that's going into this from driver councils and team councils, rule councils, NASCAR. So I am very close to it and understand why a lot of the change is taking place, and certainly agree with. So Dale Jr. was asking me some questions on a text yesterday, and I'm like, man, I'm too close to it. You're a layer removed from where you once were. What's your opinion? My opinion, I'm so close to it and see what's going on. And I respect and appreciate all of the hard work that's going in these decisions and the reasons behind them. So I get it and think that we're, everybody's just trying really hard to get things right.
Is it overwhelming at all?
Yes, and what pops up in my mind is just the way, my days and weeks take place now, and thinking about the big picture in the sport. My driver responsibilities, certainly take up plenty of time at Hendrick Motorsports and the things that we do, but to be on various councils and to think of things such big picture in so many different ways and so frequently, that part, just sitting in 2 to 4 hour council meetings, 2-3 times a month, that's totally new. And what was the phrase you used?
Overwhelming.
Yeah. Just sitting there like, this isn't typical driver responsibility. This is a bit overwhelming.
We'll go to Kelly and then up front to the far right.
Kelly Crandall, racer.com. Jimmy, much obviously has been made of your win drought and how next for you is 84 and where that ranks in the sport. But the next win for Hendrick Motorsports would be 250 in the Cup Series, I believe. What kind of a milestone like that? What does that say about the longevity and, I guess, the place in the sport for Hendrick Motorsports?
Yeah, first of all, to be here with 83 wins and have a chance to tie or to move into 84. I was thinking about this actually yesterday, Bob, on my bike ride, just how special it is to be in this position and how awesome Bobby Allison and Darrell Waltrip were in their day and are, and how much they mean to the sport. Where I sit is just an unbelievable mark in its own. And I certainly hope to move past that and move on, but, time will tell. For Hendrick Motorsports, it's very similar, but I think on a larger scale, I don't, to my knowledge, know of anybody with as many victories. Did Petty?
Yeah, I think Petty
has more. Okay. So I know that with Truck and Busch or Xfinity and Cup, I don't know how it all breaks out, but either way, and that's a huge commitment to this sport and this industry. And I know we have a big wall with all the Hendrick logos that represent a win, and just stare at 249 victories and the names that are up there on that wall at our team center is spectacular. So I would love to be. I got 200 for the company. I'd love to get 250, And it just, it means so much to all the men and women that work at and have worked for Mr. Hendrick to be a part of that. And I know when I, before I had my full cup ride, I was there and watched him celebrate the 100th win just from afar at the back of the room. And to see the pride in that building and, you know, what it meant to everybody, it sucked me in. I'm like, I just want to get a win for the company. I want to be a part of this legacy and a part of this history. And little did I know we'd be sitting here with A3, but, you know, it just means a lot to all of us at Hendrick.
Come here to the far right.
Jeff Birchfield, John C. Press. Jimmy, you've been a few races in now. What's it like different working with a lot of the younger drivers instead of the veteran teammates like you had before?
Yeah, I mean, I certainly miss camaraderie and friendships and, you know, history I've had with the other veteran teammates. You also learn setup styles. And when Jeff Gordon thought his car was perfect, I knew I needed two or three changes to get my car to where I loved it. And same with Dale and Casey and so on. So that part I am developing and trying to get my arms around, and it's going well. But I've just been really amazed with the sense of feel that my three teammates have with their race car and can describe that. You know, I look at William and how young he is. I don't know if I would be that calm in the car to sense those minor details and be able to articulate that to the team. So, you know, I do miss my friends and do miss aspects of the work process, like I mentioned, but these guys they're doing a great job.
We'll come here to the far left to Jessica and then go to Tucker and Dustin.
Jessica Ruffin with NASCAR.com. We found out that Brooke and Chad are expecting this week, and Brooke had a funny tweet that was like, all the screenshots of Chad sending her all these baby emails already. So you know Chad better than anybody probably. So what kind of father do you think that he'll be?
I'm excited for him. I can also recall him through my process of being a parent and the sleepless nights and different aspects of parenthood. His curiosity, and then just he doesn't know yet. He hadn't been there, and I'm excited for him to go through those experiences. He and Brooke are going to be amazing parents. It's an exciting time for them, and I think it will help make him a more patient man. I know being a parent's made me a much more patient man. So he has that lesson coming for sure. Yep.
We'll go to Tucker and wrap up with Dustin.
Tucker White, SpeedwayMedia.com. Jimmy, over here. Jimmy, your last two seasons have been, each season of yours have been statistically gotten worse and worse. And yes, I know one of them, you won a championship, but it was also your statistically career worst until last season. How much of that is just a product of Chevrolet falling off the mark these last two seasons?
You know, I can't put blame in one place, and it'd be unfair to say that it's, you know, a manufacturer's fault and responsibility. I mean, I think there's ownership, you know, there's responsibility in all areas. I think we can all bring more to the table and all do a little better job. You know, if we knew where to, you know, what button to push, we would have kept that 5-in-a-row streak alive and kept going. But, you know, on top of the things that we can control within our own walls as a race team, you know, the product has changed. We're in different cars, tires change, what other teams do. I mean, there's just a lot going on. And, you know, by no means am I content with where I'm at and where this team is at and our performances. But, you know, we can't work any harder. Manufacturer, driver, crew chief, team, organization, we can't. We are literally working around the clock and doing anything and everything we can. So at some point you have to say, look, we're all in. We just need time. We'll get there. So we need more from everywhere right now is our approach. And there's not just a silver bullet like, okay, boom, if it's this, everything will be fine. It's not that.
We're going to wrap up with Dustin.
Dustin Long, NBC Sports. Where are the Babe Ruth quotes coming from and who are they meant for?
Google search is my friend. just digging around, looking for stuff. And then, you know, it's so, I've had a fun approach in the past of finding trolls and singling them out and having fun with that. But I was like, man, there's enough damn negativity in the world. I'm going to take a little shift on it and thought it'd be best to find some, inspirational quotes to kind of reflect where I'm at and what's going on. So, You know, I think that's been a more mature approach in a sense. I've seen a couple recently I drafted and worked on and saved where I was just going to go back to my old ways. And I'm not saying that I won't. If I have enough drinks on the flight home, I might. But I've just been trying to project positive vibes instead of falling into that trap of negativity.